Welcome to the podcast of St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ.
And welcome back to our St. Andrew's podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us today as we're continuing on our discipleship pathway. If you've been with us and joined us for the last several weeks, you know that we have been talking about how we as disciples of Jesus Christ grow closer to Him and become the people that He has created us to be. Also, as we know, grow and go, as is our method here at St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church. I'm Stephanie Greenwald. I'm the associate pastor here. And last week we visited with Susan Robinson, who is our director of children and family ministries, and we are so glad to have her back with us today. She's going to be talking to us today about discipleship development for older elementary school aged kids. So really 8 years old through 12 years old as they're getting ready to go into junior high. And Susan just has a wealth of knowledge to be able to share with us. And so Susan, we're so glad that you are back. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for sharing with us last week about younger age children, really birth through 7 years of age, and how they walk along a discipleship pathway, because it's never too young to be starting on that pathway. And so today, as we look at what it means to be an older elementary school aged child, we want to look at the different milestones that they go through in their discipleship pathway, and also talk about some of the experiences and ways that we help them with that here at church. One of those ways I know is that you offer a Bible boot camp for third graders. And I am really excited to hear more about that, because I know you're getting ready to do that here coming up soon. Yes. And so tell us how this really helps to kick disciple making into a new level, and tell us what the goals are that you are reaching with doing this.
So in the United Methodist tradition, we are familiar with confirmation, and that's a time that people look to for kids to solidify their faith and make it their own. But me, I know that third grade is an amazing time for kids to claim that, to be able to say, this is no longer just my parents' faith, this is my faith, and they can take the reins. You know, I wanted to create a program for them to be able to understand that themselves. Third grade Bible boot camp is my absolute favorite.
That's awesome.
We get to partner with the parents for the first part of the night. They go through, they learn all types of things about the Bible, who wrote parts of it, and where you can find things, and the Bible teaches us why we have adopted some traditions in the church faith that parents don't know or understand. And they come to third grade Bible book camp and they're like, I think I learned more than my third grader did if they've been listening to you. So I love
That's
that. And just developmentally for those kids to be able to grasp those concepts. It's just so much fun, too.
Yes. That's such a cool thing, and it's such a big thing to tackle, too. So tell us more.
The kids to walk away, and they feel confident to open that Bible and know that it's theirs. It's not this old, dusty thing that was written 2,000 years ago, and it has nothing to do with their lives today. After third grade Bible boot camp, my hope, and I have been successful in seeing kids open the Bible and go, this is mine.
Yes, exactly.
And the words in it are speaking to me. And just to hand that to them and see the confidence grow in them, and they go, I know how to use it. It doesn't have to be written in a language that isn't mine. And then they're they are one with Scripture, and yes. So that is my favorite. Oh.
Well, tell me more about what you think that does for them on their discipleship pathway. How does that open a door for them?
Okay, so opening that understanding solidifies their faith so that then our hope is beyond third grade. Mm-hmm. Then we go into fourth grade is kind of an odd year. They're not the big potatoes,
right.
And they're no longer the small ones. But then in fifth and sixth grade, they are learning how to communicate in weird new ways.
Right.
And if, as they were younger in that 8-year-old range, we have given them the tools to be able to communicate and reach out and say, I know this, then with confidence they can share that.
Right.
And so in the last podcast, we had talked about building that foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just like to continue, even at every step, to say, this is, God is love, and this is how it's being communicated, and this is how it's being communicated.
Yeah.
And let those kids be able to share it beyond that.
Yeah.
So that they continue the path. Because if you stop walking, there's so much path ahead of you. You've got to keep going.
Right,
so
exactly.
Keep growing.
Well, and I know too that there are so many adults who are afraid to open the Bible because they're just not comfortable with it.
Right.
And I love the idea that we take children at an age where they're still really formidable. Mm-hmm. Like that you can really help still to shape them at that age and to say, this is not a scary text. This is something, like you're saying, that is for you. It is for us as the body of Christ. And I think doing that at such a young age will really help them to not be afraid of it.
Right.
To say, we can find answers here.
To those people, I would say, come volunteer.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll learn a lot.
You can sign up online at our website. I think that's a wonderful idea. I just love that. So as we continue to look forward on this pathway and as the kids are getting a little bit older, can you tell us a little more about child development at these ages, 8 years through 12?
Yes, child development plays a big role for me, and I try to incorporate it into everything that I do.
Mm-hmm.
I just know the importance of it. And we say child development, and I work with children, but people development.
Right.
I mean, you never stop developing. Mm-mm. You are at a stage of development your whole life.
Yeah.
So, again, you're just building on that foundation wherever you start. If you are 3, if you are 35, if you are 85, start with a foundation and then go forward. But with child development, I say you have to start with the seed. You have to cultivate that soil first.
Yes.
You've got to break down your preconceived notions. And if someone has been unkind to you, then you go, well, I'm not sure I want to worship your God.
Right.
So cultivate that soil, and then seeds can be planted, and you have to be watered and sunned and given a chance to grow before anything can be harvested.
Mm-hmm.
So it just goes back to that. You have to start that at the beginning, wherever your beginning is. But with this age group, 8 through 12, they're starting to be their own person.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that age group, then you just hand them that freedom to be that.
Yes, okay.
Whereas before you've been training them in a certain way, then you kind of hand them the reins and go, okay, let me see how you do it now.
Yeah, right.
And I'm still here for you.
Right.
Absolutely. But handing it over, see what they do with it.
Yeah.
And they're still young enough to accept your correction.
Right.
But then they're not so young that they're just going to listen to everything.
Right.
And I love that. And I encourage that.
Yes.
I continue to learn from children.
Yes.
The way that they learn. And I go, oh, thank you for teaching me today.
Right.
So I just use this time and their child development to watch that and be a part of it.
That's such a good word to help us, especially as parents, to remember it's okay to let them have a little bit of say-so in their relationship with Christ. I think as I kind of look out across the sea of parents, I sometimes see parents who are very controlling, that they don't want to allow their kids to have their own opinion about faith because they're afraid they'll take off in some crazy direction.
That's not how I grew up.
Exactly. Exactly. And that can be really scary. But then you've got other parents who, again, feel ill-equipped to handle it. So they just don't. They're just hands off, which is also not a good thing. It's like we have to find the balance. What do you think about, you know, I know this is the kind of age range, especially as they're getting into the 11 and 12, where they're going to start thinking more abstractly. Mm-hmm. And so what would you encourage parents as their kids become more abstract thinkers and they're starting to really, like you said in the previous podcast, things are starting to fill in as to the stories that they learned when they were small. Now they're understanding a little bit more of the meaning behind those stories. I think that brings on more questions, especially for a 10, 11, 12-year-old.
Absolutely.
So what is your encouragement to parents as kids are exploring that?
Okay, so they are gaining an understanding at this age, and they're putting those pieces together that we've laid out for them.
Yeah.
They're seeing the big picture now. They're understanding that worship is a verb.
Yes, yes.
So be a part of that. They have the capacity to understand that and be a part of that, be involved, experience that. And so it's not just a thing that they spectate any longer.
Yes.
They are a part of it. They are seeing that their friends add to it, the adults in their lives, and the ones that just sit around them, they can see how everyone offers something that God is working in all of us.
Yes.
So then they also develop the ability to flesh out more practical ways of applying that to their lives.
Right.
Where before maybe it was just a story. Oh, okay, I heard the story. Right. Now I get to go home.
Yeah.
But now they see why God included that in Scripture and go, oh, I just experienced that at school by my locker. And I'm able to recall those stories where other people that God had called on and used in His Scripture, how they were able to use that.
Yeah.
And so this is the age where it starts to be real.
Yes, starts to apply. I think that's really cool. I love watching kids as they start to click with that, you know, such a cool thing. So a few moments ago, you talked about person development, that we all develop it all throughout our lives. So for those families who didn't start out with their kids in church, and maybe they are reaching the time where their kids are upper elementary and they're wanting to now explore, what does it mean to have faith and how do our kids have faith? What would you say for the unchurched family that's having these new interests in faith and church? What would you say to them as they're laying a foundation?
I would start with the same thing that I said in the last podcast. Start with God is love. Because that is that foundation. And so start with there no matter what age you start at.
That's a good word.
And then I build that into all of my lessons, all of my activities. So if it's the first time you've ever heard of Jesus or any of these other people in Scripture, if this is the first time it's being introduced to you, the one thing that I always say, what's my one thing that they walk away with? I always want that to be God is love.
That's good.
So everything in Scripture does point to that.
Yes.
From the beginning of creation to Revelation, God has laid that pathway and saying, I'm doing this because I love you, because I created you, and I am chasing after you. So I make sure that that is the one thing. And if
That's
you are
good.
if you are a parent of a fifth grader and you're just now coming to church and you maybe want to make this a part of your family's life, start there.
Yep.
Absolutely. And
so good.
Then you can build onto the God is good and God is powerful and God is a part of my life and seeking me. And then they're already at the age that they can understand, and it's my responsibility to go spread that.
Yes.
So even if that's your first thing, just because of development, they can understand that a whole lot quicker.
Yes.
And that foundation is laid, and you can build on that, and then they can go, okay, and God's calling me too, so I can go out and I can tell my friends, and how did I go this long without knowing that? Yeah. I don't want that for anyone else, because once you're introduced to Jesus, then it's just, you want to pass
it on. Yes, you do. You are so right about that. I love that. So what are the benchmarks of discipleship that you would want a child to have by the time they enter into junior high? So as they're coming out of this age bracket, what are those things you would really like for them to have experienced?
I kind of feel like a broken record.
That's all right. It's good. It's never too much to hear.
So I would say God is love. Mm-hmm. God is powerful and is acting in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
That again, going back to the third grade thing, you don't want them to say, oh, that's just old things.
Right.
God is acting and moving today.
Right.
And Jesus is God's proof of love.
Mm-hmm.
We have that message for us.
Yeah.
And God wants to know you
mm-hmm.
and wants to be known. I think that someone entering to junior high would need to know that because a lot of junior hires are hiding in their awkwardness and
such a trying time.
God wants to be known. I know that you as a person who's developing are trying to hide and blend in and not be seen and not cause waves.
Yeah.
But the God who created you wants to know you and wants to be known. And I said before, it's our responsibility to share the gospel, the good news. And they are at an age that they absolutely can do that and make huge impact.
Yes.
Because there is no way around it. It is just an awkward age.
It is. And it really is.
If you can know that that God is there for you and is going to walk you through that, even though your body doesn't know what it's doing and you don't know how you fit into the world, you absolutely fit into God's hand.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. And I know too that, you know, we're coming up on the start of confirmation here at St. Andrews. And with that being something that really happens for most Methodists at sixth grade, so 12 years old, something around in there. Can you tell our listeners who maybe don't know very much about confirmation why that's important for this age?
Okay, so it gives you that history. I told you that in third grade, we're teaching them that the Bible points to those things that have become tradition.
Yes.
But then how people have made that tradition and how history has shown how the church was built and broken down and pieced out and then put back together. They get to see that and they have that understanding. And then something that here that we do that I absolutely value is the prayer partners.
Yes, I love that.
Because prayer is such a huge part of my discipleship pathway that we encourage that and we teach them, hey, these people that you sit with and you worship God, they are praying for you and they are poring over scripture and they are in service to you. And so that confirmation provides that, and then they get to see all of those foundational pieces piecing together and laying on top of each other, and there's so much,
like the light bulbs just come
those
on,
aha moments, and even if immediately they're like, yes, I do this. And then they go, all right, and now I don't understand anything.
Right.
It's an experience that they can come back to, just like those babies. Mm-hmm. You've given them the pieces.
Yeah.
They saw the big picture and then they broke it apart.
Yes.
So confirmation gives them the pieces to put back together later when they're adults.
Uh-huh. Exactly. So. Well, and I love it too that we offer them that moment to say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, like really to profess for themselves. It's no longer, like you had said in our last podcast, it's no longer my parents' faith. Mm-hmm. You know, it is now mine that I own. And the way that the discipleship pathway just guides them to that point, mm-hmm. I think is really special. And to be able to say, even as still kind of a child, we value your decision.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's really cool.
And as much as it can break your heart when a child says no, how valuable that we have given them that opportunity to say it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
You can take those reins, or you can say that's not for me right now.
Right, exactly. Well, and especially at an age where they are desperate for identity, mm-hmm. and they're desperate for things that are their own, to say with your faith, the most important thing, it's absolutely your own, you know?
Right.
That's really, really cool. Well, I am so grateful to you for sharing your knowledge with us. Thank you for just the depth of insight on child development, because that really helps as we put all of the pieces together for our faith development, the way God has made us to develop. It fits all together with our spirit, with our bodies, with our minds, everything. So grateful to you and for the way that you lead our kids. We are so blessed to have you with us. And friends, we're glad that you've listened today. Hope that you have been blessed as well. Hope you'll tune in to our next podcast coming up next week. We'll be talking with Michael Godwin, who is our Director of Student Ministries, as we continue on the discipleship pathway for youth and for our students who are in junior high and senior high. We're going to be talking about those milestones and benchmarks that people have as they get just a little bit older and move into adulthood. So we're excited about this. Hope you'll come and see us at St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church. We have services at 8:15, 9:30, and 10:50 every Sunday morning. We are also online at 8:15 and 10:50. You can find us on Facebook or YouTube Live. Hope that you have a very blessed day.